Okay, so the douche burger.
Douche burger.
There's
or
this
douche burger or douchebag burger.
It's called the douche burger. I'm sorry. Okay. There's this New York City food truck called 666 Burger that makes a bunch of different burgers. And in response to they saw some story about a $295 Serendipity burger. Serendipity makes is this I guess it's this New York restaurant that makes a $295 burger, and so they made a $666 burger. They call the douche burger because if you order it and eat it, you're a douche because a burger is not about the crazy toppings you put on it, but
you had foie gras on your peanut butter and jelly.
Yes.
So you must be a little bit on the devil's advocate side there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's on the douche burger?
$666 edible fiscal disaster that piles caviar, lobster, and truffles on top of a foie gras stuffed, gold leaf wrapped Kobe patty, smothers it with Gruyere melted with champagne steam, and finishes off with a barbecue sauce made with Kopi Luwak coffee that's passed through the Kopi Luwak sieve. So,
now is it good? Does it get good reviews? Or is it just a train wreck of expensive things?
From what I've read, it's delicious.
Okay. Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, because if it's a train wreck of expensive things, yeah, that would be a shame.
Yeah.
When I was in Vegas, I almost ordered a $60 burger with foie gras on it. I forget the name. It was at Burger Bar, which was in the Luxor, the shops at the Luxor. And I actually ended up having a very good burger there. One of the best burgers I've had, but I was expensing the stuff, right? And I just couldn't bring myself to expense a $60 hamburger. You know, life's full of regrets, I guess. But, I had a build-your-own burger, and I put, like, goat cheese and asparagus on it. And it was actually, just the way they prepared it. They know how to make it, right? And it was just fantastic.
I mean, and that's the thing about a $666 burger that has all the stuff on it, is that each of the individual stuff is going to be tasty anyway. So, of course, it's going to be tasty. But, of course it's going to be delicious, but wouldn't you get sort of the same amount of deliciousness from a $20 burger or even a $5 burger if it was made right?
Kopi Luwak barbecue sauce.
Gruyere melted with champagne, Steve.
Gruyere's the cheapest thing there, probably, unless it's some kind of super crazy.
I mean, gold leaf. It's got gold leaf wrapping the Kobe patty that also has foie gras in it. Uh-huh. Caviar, lobster, and truffles.
It's awesome.
I mean, that's so much stuff. I mean, there's too much delicious stuff to not have it not be delicious, right?
Well, it could be a train wreck of expensive things, though. It could just be a big muddy mess, right? I mean, it could be. But apparently it's delicious. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There was I heard this just today. Allison was at a friend's birthday party, and her older brother was there. He talked about how someone... Now, these aren't foodies, okay? So I don't know anything about this, but somewhere in town, there's a place that makes a burger of ground bacon. So, like, instead of ground meat, it's ground bacon. It's that whole bacon overload thing.
God.
Greg's rolling his eyes.
That's so overdoing it.
Yeah.
I don't care that is bacon. If they did the same thing with caviar, it'd be the same problem. Is that they're overdoing it. The same thing with lobster. They're overdoing it. Mm-hmm. Bacon is a wonderful flavor. Bacon has great applications. Bacon is not the end all be all of food.
Yeah. If you love bacon so much, make it yourself.
Yes. Make it yourself and apply it yourself, I guess. But I mean, like, don't wrap a scallop in bacon. A scallop is delicious. Don't taint a scallop with something that it shouldn't be tainted with.
Is part of the reason bacon is so fantastic, here's an idea, is because even the crappiest, cheapest grocery store bacon is good, really good. Maybe that's why bacon is such a... Because you can buy the cheapest Pepperidge Farm...
Yeah, you can get, like, bacon that's not crisp, that's, rubbery, and it still tastes good, and... Yeah, bacon that you don't like the texture of, but it still tastes great. Yeah, it's bacon. Annoying.
You always want
to because get... people just want to apply that thing to everything. But, I mean, a scallop has wonderful flavor to it. And if you ruin it with a bacon, if you make a scallop taste like bacon, well, you've just destroyed a scallop, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You've not enhanced a scallop, you've destroyed a scallop.
Better have been skate. So I was at the community days yesterday, and there was a booth where these girls had their own barbecue sauce. You know, and when I walked up, I thought, sauces. I'm like, oh, maybe they have a good Carolina sauce. Maybe they have a good South Carolina sauce, which is like a mustard vinegar thing,
uh-huh.
Which you can't really find. They had one sauce, a sweet sauce, and they were pouring samples on crackers or pretzels or chips. I had one little sample, and it tasted almost like ketchup. It was like... Maybe I should have given them honest feedback, but I just wasn't in the mood. I'm like, oh my god, you're making that? It was shit. It was the worst barbecue. I mean, any of the quote-unquote barbecue sauces on the bottom shelf of the grocery store is better than this.
What was it again?
It was just some locally produced barbecue sauce.
But what was in it?
It was a sweet barbecue sauce.
It would just...
Tastes like ketchup.
Ketchup. Ugh.
With a little bit of molasses. I don't know, but I'm like, holy crap, was it... I was shocked that it was such a bad product. And these girls, these two women, are starting a company making one and only one sauce... And it was that.
Are they making like Pittsburgh branded, therefore hoping to get that sort of...
No, I can't really, I don't remember much about it. I mean, once I tasted it, I was like, I don't care anymore.
But then again, you know, you think about something like Frank's hot sauce, the blandest or dumbest, I mean, it's not bland necessarily, but it's vinegar and cayenne. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It doesn't have a character like, say, maybe Tabasco does, right? It's just vinegar and cayenne pepper. And yet that sells great.
Well, that's probably because those a-holes up in Buffalo picked that as the flavor for buffalo wings, right? I mean, that's...
Yes, but there's a certain aspect of that. There's a certain Wonder Bread aspect of that in that people will jump to the lowest common denominator will satisfy the most people.
So at the community days, I ordered, a lot of those festival food vendors were there, right? So I was trying to figure out what to get. And I went to the booth. I actually ended up at the booth that, you know, I wanted to get some fries. And I was looking at the condiments available at the different booths. I got the ones that had the Louisiana hot sauce and vinegar, right? So that's the one I wanted to get my hot sausage with. I got Philly cheesesteak and the fries. And they had a Louisiana hot sauce. It was kind of... it wasn't Tabasco. It was more vinegary.
Uh-huh.
But it was also pretty spicy compared to Frank's stuff. It was good stuff. So I kind of put that on. Then I... squirted the stuff down with tons and tons of vinegar. I was feeling like English. I was feeling like a fish and chips type thing. I want some big soggy vinegar fries, and it was pretty good. But yeah, I should have went back and looked into what their hot sauce was, because it was an interesting play of vinegar and pepper sauce, but it wasn't as mundane as Frank's. Mm-hmm. It actually had some good characteristic to it.
Cool.
But yeah, those girls that were running a barbecue sauce business, like, you only got the one sauce.
Were they hot?
No,
I wouldn't. So that wasn't that part of the attraction.
The one was okay. The other one was might have been like a mom and daughter thing. I don't know. So there's a whole fantasy there, right? But
it's a weird fantasy. It's like the fantasy with twins. Really? Twins? Why would that be interesting?
Because how messed up it is on the other end.
Wouldn't that just get confusing, and not only confusing but also just weird and like, ugh.
I'm sure comedians have done plenty of bits on that.
And twins!
Oh, the sauce was so bad. That ketchup sauce. Oh. Maybe I should have... I don't know. I just didn't want to crush their dreams. But there was no merit.
You should have been like... this sauce sucks. How dare you inflict this on an American public? Blah, 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 blah.
You know, if there was beer at the festival, maybe I would have said something, right?
If you're dressed in my Batman outfit. Excuse me. Excuse me. I find your sauce to be subpar.
Fucking offensive.
I'm definitely going to wear that to the concessions, and I'm going to try to be like, yes, medium popcorn, please. And a Coke.
That's awesome.
Maybe some goobers. This guy does the 666
burger. You don't have to buy a ticket.
Yeah, it's true.
Which theater?
I like to hear, I like to see me on screen. It was me, you know. It was shot in Pittsburgh. I can't have gained a little bit of weight, but, you know.
You're pretty good at that voice.
So the 66 burger guy says that you shouldn't put lettuce and tomato in your burger. He says people use them to make up a deficiency in the burger. If you toast your bun correctly, it's not... If you don't toast your bun correctly, it's not crispy enough, and you need lettuce to make it crispy. If your meat is too dry, tomato helps hide that fact, gives you the juiciness. If you're toasting your buns, getting nice crust, and you're cooking meat properly, there's no need for them. All it does is bread, meat, and cheese.
I could see the lettuce thing, the texture, right? I mean, if you're getting... I get that part. And, you know, as of, you know, a year and a half ago, I would have to fully agree with the tomato thing because I didn't like tomatoes at all. But I don't know. I guess I can still kind of agree. But, you know, the acidity of a tomato can do something in there. I don't know.
You can do it with spices and things like that.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And a well, you know, a good... One thing, this Thursday, I went out with Damien, and I wanted to get... He asked me what I wanted to do, and the first thing I said was, I was in a goofy mood. I was like, is there a medieval times anywhere around here? I just want to have fun. There's no medieval times around here.
Probably Virginia Beach or something.
Yeah. And so I was like, all right, well, maybe like... I guess kind of fun to have a hibachi, but then that wasn't really what I was looking for. So, all right, I just want a good burger. I asked him about BRGR, and he said that was good, but he had a place around here near me, actually, in Tesoro's, and he said that's a good place. And so we were there, and I asked him how fresh their meat was. He said, very, very fresh. I said, okay, rare. I want a rare burger. And he was like, David looked at me like, rare? I said, yes, because it's a burger. I don't want a patty. I want a burger. Mm-hmm. I want a real.
And if the meat's good, rare, you get something out of rare burger. BRGR, you know, before they opened up in Cranberry, you know, I heard really, you know, fascinating things about them, about how good the stuff is. I've eaten a burger 4 times. I'm not sure it's worth the money. I don't know. It's just, I've not been impressed. Maybe my expectations are too high, but I have not been impressed with BRGR.
Well, this place, Tesoro's, in Liberty Avenue, was damn good, and it was good to have a nice real burger. It was rare.
I've heard the same thing about Burgatory out in Fox Chapel. So I'm curious at whether they're better, like whether they're actually delivering, you know, the amazing hamburger.
Well, I don't know if it was but it was a good burger. It had blue cheese on it, had like a sharp blue cheese on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was very tasty, very very tasty burger.
I'm trying to think where I've had some good burgers. Where's the last place I had a good burger? I can't think of one right now. So, beer app. I hadn't really put too many cycles into the beer app idea.
Cycles? You're thinking like a computer.
Well, I said I backgrounded it. You know, I ran the command, and then I control Z, and then I said BG, and hit enter. So it was, but yeah, I niced it too high, and it hasn't got very many cycles. There's one Unix geek out there laughing his ass off.
I know what you're talking about. I still think you're fucking nuts. You're not a computer. You don't have cycles. It doesn't work that way. Your nerves. You have nerves, and they work via calcium ions.
If I was a girl, I'd be better at multitasking. There, how about that? So I could have some cycles.
On average.
Yes. I don't know what app I'd want. I'd want a better beer mapping app. I love beermapping.com. I know Jonathan. Yeah, I know him so well. I can't think of his name after 5 beers. But it's a Google Maps mashup of all the bars in your city type thing. You can find good beer bars. There's an overlay you can use to load it into Google Maps, but it doesn't work all that great. I'd want something super simple where Google Maps or, hell, Siri, where should I get a beer? You know, that's the app I want.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, I might be looking for something along the lines of, here's a beer, I don't know anything about it, mm-hmm. enter information about it, see what, you know, maybe a collection of what the other, you know, the sites rate it, and, you know, what type of beer it is, out, you know, information about it.
The key for those kind of apps is it needs to be thoughtless, super simple. No searching, no picking results, no... You need to crack that. You need to say...
I have cracked it. QR codes, my friend.
On a draft pint glass.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, look, I cracked the method. I don't know how to get it to work. It's just, if you can associate...
They have the Bars Code Skinner apps, right? So if you have a bottle of beer, you can do that. But, okay, so you need someone to manage the editorial part of that to show you the valuable content mm-hmm. that you think is useful. So, you know, there's a lot of people power behind that part. So that's a bigger problem.
Sort of like Yelp though, right? I mean, if you get everybody involved, then
I have never used Untappd. So maybe it's better than Beerbee was. You know, I used Beerbee because it was run by a local company. But it just, you know, okay, so instead of using Twitter, instead of using Foursquare, I'm going to use Beerbee. And I'm going to do this thing, and then I got to search for the beer, and then say I have it, and say where I'm at, and link it up, and say to tweet. And it just was too tedious, and no one cared. Hmm. And, oh, look, I collected a Badger, or, you know, an Untappd, you know, rank or something, you know, or you know, I'm an 18th level IPA God, Monday type thing.
This is like your Foursquare shit. I'm here on Foursquare.
I don't tweet those anymore. Leave me alone.
You did a couple times.
Only if they're extra cool.
You mentioned something right before the end of the show, which I actually thought was kind of interesting. Surgeon General says only smoke occasionally, right? But I think that there might be something to that, because the Surgeon General says something along the lines of only drink alcohol occasionally, right? It's not good for y'all every day. It's not good for you never to have it. It's good if you have it occasionally. And there's actually some studies that say that maybe the same thing with radiation. It might be decent for you to have a little dose of it every once in a while. Just keep your cells active and
getting kills off those weak, really weak cells. It only mutates your DNA a little bit.
It keeps your cells active in the process of getting rid of mistakes, so it just keeps them sort of up and running. At least that's the general, you know, that's the
well, I'm sure there's enough environmental radiation to, you don't have to go
see. Well, that's the thing is there's not. And so you get a little bit more than your standard environmental dose. Every once in a while.
Should I go chew on lantern mantles?
Just go to a granite. Go to a granite mine.
I got some lantern mantles in the room over there. You want to go stick them in your mouth?
There's thorium. Oh. It every once in a while, take your smoke detector and rub it on your body.
I think thorium's in there too, right?
It's americium.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
But I was thinking, what if they came up with that it was the same thing with smokes, with cigarettes.
Well, I used to think that radiation was awesome for you, right?
Well, that's not the same thing. But this is more of a little, you know, nothing is not, you know, none of it is still not awesome for you. A bunch of it is not awesome for you, but a little bit is awesome for you. That's what they're telling you for alcohol.
Actually, not even a little bit. I mean, they say moderate drinking. Yeah. You know, like 3 drinks a week.
So can you imagine the surgeon said, you know, smoke 2 cigarettes a week. That will just keep your lungs in their filtering mode.
If you're in an environment that is too clean, smoke a couple cigarettes.
Yeah. You know, it's sort of along the lines of don't keep your kids inside all the time. Let them go out and do dirt. They'll get tiny little sicknesses, but that'll help them out in the future. You know, it's that same thing. You know, they're wondering whether we see a whole bunch of peanut allergies and stuff like that because we're keeping our kids so sheltered.
I would think that other exposures would be more beneficial than cigarette smoke, but, you know, who knows?
Oh, maybe that's the thing. Maybe if you can only get that sort of exposure. I mean,
a bubble boy that's not allowed outside. Smoke a cigarette.
We live in Pittsburgh, near Pittsburgh. We have air quality warnings and stuff like that. So obviously, there's smog is enough to get you, but to give you that level of background.
So if you're cursed to live in a pristine environment,
yes, then seriously, smoke a cigarette or two.
We're talking about food trucks a little bit ago. I went down to that pop-up beer garden in Lawrenceville the day that was like 100 degrees. And, it was fine for a little bit. You know, it was like, oh, it's hot, but, you know, it's a comfortable hot. And then we're sitting there, and the kids' faces start turning red and stuff. I'm like, we probably should get out of here.
Uh-huh.
But there was 2 food trucks there. The Franktuary truck was there. So I had a Franktuary hot dog. Pretty good stuff. And then a soon-to-be food truck was there. The Pittsburgh taco truck. He was there in his... station wagon type car, because his truck is getting kitchenized as we speak, and the dude's pretty interested in coming up to our office and cooking lunch, cooking us all, doing lunch at the office, and I had his taco, pretty good stuff.
I think I told you there's a Spanish place, a Spanish grocery that makes tacos, and they have all the fillings out, right by me, and they're so awesome. It's so good.
A couple weeks ago, and I met Scott to talk about the website down in the Strip, and we were leaving, and I was like, hadn't eaten, I was ready to get some lunch. He's like, oh, go to this taco stand on Penn, I forget the name of the place, by the Mexican grocery there, and it's like, it's awesome, and I've heard about it before, so I went there, but it was like 4 o'clock, and they had closed down. It's like, damn. I should have went down to Pho. That's what I should have done. Got some more tendons. You said you had the tendons, and they were...
I did. I had the tendons because I wasn't sure whether it was... Jeff had told me about how great the tendons were, and he went to another place, and the tendons weren't as good. And I was like, do I remember the tendons being that great or not? I wasn't sure. So I went, and I checked it out, and yeah, they were awesome.
Yeah, this is the Penn closer to 16th, or the Pho close to 16th Street.
Yes, it's there. Called Vietnam's Pho. It's more of a hole than the other one. I mean, it's not a hole.
No, but it's cash only.
Yeah.
It's not the fancy Pho, which is down by like 22nd Street or something like that. 21st Street, I think. And the Vietnam's Pho. I ordered the sampler, which has some tripe, some tendons, some beef, a sirloin, I think, or flank or something like that. And it was all very good, but I told Greg, man, these tendons, I don't know if I gave you any that night, but the tendons were so tender. They must have slow cooked them for like 6 days. And they were like butter. And so good. So we went to this other pho with a bunch of guys from work, and I'm like, oh my God, I had these tendons down there. It was fantastic. So I ordered the tendons one. They were chewy and hard. It was what you thought tendons would taste like. No, you need to go to the right place.
Oh, this place was, it was like butter. It was like, Or you know what? The best comparison actually, in terms of texture would be roasted garlic.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it's hard to use that as a comparison because it's such a strong flavor, right?
Yes, but I'm talking about just texture because it's not quite butter. It's not just like There's still there's a little bit of fibrousness to it, a little bit of tension to it, just a bit.
I mean, it's hard to think of any meat that's still, because it's all gelatinized, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to think of, like, even like the most tender filet or so, filet mignon or something like that. It still has a little bit more.
There's more chewiness to it.
I mean, just imagine what if you ever had tendon or gristle or something like that. You know how that's very chewy. Imagine where all those protein strings are broken down.
Uh-huh.
And it's just barely held together. And you bite into it, and it's just super tender. It's good stuff.
Good stuff. Yum. On that note, let's smoke some meth.
Or at least watch some guy make some meth.
Yes. Blue meth.